Have you ever, I mean, I've thought of this before, but I don't believe that I ever said it to you guys. There's some irony in Matthew's gospel. We're going to read it today. I'm sure you've noticed irony in there before. But I want to point out that it's very ironic that Jesus, in this story we're going to read today, is prophesying about his own coming. Jesus, the Word made flesh, that's what he's called in the Gospel of John, the one who is called the Word made flesh, come to live among us, is prophesying for the people that the Savior will come. It seems very backward to us as we hear it today. And as I've thought about it, I can imagine that the people there who heard him, it probably would have been just the disciples who had questions when they heard Jesus saying this. Because remember, what we're going to read today is amongst several prophecies and things that Jesus had taught the disciples about the difficulties they were going to have with this movement, the way. And so I'm thinking that when the disciples heard this, they would have had a lot of questions. They would have said, "What are you saying this for, Jesus? Aren't you the one we've been waiting for? Aren't you the Savior, the Messiah?" Let's read this part of Matthew. And having said that to you, I want you to look for irony in the text. Matthew 24:36-44. No one knows the day or hour. The angels in heaven don't know, and the Son himself doesn't know. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man appears, things will be just as they were when Noah lived. People were eating, drinking, and getting married right up to the day that the flood came and Noah went into the big boat. They didn't know anything was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That is how it will be when the Son of Man appears. Two men will be in the same field, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. Two women will be together grinding grain, but only one will be taken. The other will be left. So be on your guard. You don't know when your Lord will come. Homeowners never know when a thief is coming, and they're always on guard to keep one from breaking in. Always be ready. You don't know when the Son of Man will come. The Word of God for the people of God. So, if I'm one of the disciples and I have heard this, am I going to say to Jesus, "So, what you're telling me is you're going to break into my house?" I mean, it's very confusing. All of this is confusing, especially the part that the apocalyptic part of the culture that we live in today has picked up and created, left behind, and all. I mean, all of this is confusing. What does it mean? And I think all of us can get the sense when we hear Matthew's gospel that the community that was following Matthew's gospel felt that the end time was coming very soon. Something very big was going to happen soon. That's why they preserved these words and put them down so carefully. The kingdom that Jesus was teaching about was coming. So be ready. Keep watch. Don't get caught by the thief. This passage it's in the midst, as I said, of this long prophetic discourse from Jesus where he's telling the disciples that they're heading for difficult times. Jesus seems to have the whole vision of time before him, and he offers a commentary on his own mission and on his own ministry. He's offering a prophetic view of things to come. And he's issuing a challenge to those who would follow him. Be ready. And, you know, I'm thinking, if I'm a disciple, be ready for what? What? You're here right now. I mean, what am I getting ready for or being ready for? You are here now, Jesus. I want to offer up something here, something that the early church, I think, could really grasp that we can't as easily now. Because these early church brothers and sisters expected these words of Christ to come to pass because they had no hope in the world that they were living in. No hope at all. They needed to hear a message telling them that hope was on the way. And I think that very much is why these words were written down in the first place. They didn't want these people who were the first followers of Jesus to just be sitting around. These words were written down in a dangerous time for the people of the early church, in a community that was persecuted, and it was under attack, and it wasn't necessarily safe to tell people that you were a follower of Jesus. But these words were written with great care for people who were the followers of the way then, and I think they were written down with great care for us now as well. They wanted to make sure that nobody was left out then or now. No one is not going to understand what Jesus is saying. So you're asking yourself, well, what does the second coming look like? I don't know. I mean, I wish we knew. When will it be? We don't know that either. But like those people then, the times we are living in now, I mean, it's difficult sometimes to be a Christian in these times we're living in now. But it's nothing like the times that they were living. It's not dangerous for us as it was for them then. So let's explore what this scripture could mean to us today. Even though the experiences of the early Christians influenced the way that they saw the world, and they had no hope and they needed a message of hope, what they experienced and the way these words read, they don't inform me very much about the times that I am living in. Jesus' prophecy, though, I think still has truth for us, even though, you know, understanding it the way the culture we live in understands it is not helpful for me personally. But ask yourself this, if we lived as if we expected Christ to come again, how would that change things here at Slash Christian Church? That's a question I want us to think about. Or ask yourself, how would that change my life? Would I say my prayers more regularly if I thought that Christ was coming soon? Would I care more, love more, do more? Instead of just sitting in the recliner, would I feed, clothe, and care more for people that I see in need around me? Am I looking for Christ's kingdom to come, or am I comfortable, you know, just the way things are right now? Am I going to build the kingdom, or am I going to watch TV? In this passage, Christ talks about Noah and the ark. The world had gotten to a place where God felt that starting over was the thing to do. So Noah and his family were chosen to start civilization over again. What is the truth of that story. The Bible says that the people made fun of Noah. Not one person believed in the Lord's power. So let me ask you to ask yourself this. Do you believe that if someone had stepped up at that time and said, I believe in the Lord's power, and had lived that way, that they wouldn't have gotten a place on the ark with Noah and his family? I believe they would have. I believe they would have. And I'm asking each of you to believe in God's power. I don't want us to be people who choose to eat and drink and be merry right up to the point that the door closes. I want us to get out there and build the kingdom. Now, I'd be crazy to stand here and tell you that the end times are near. That would be a stretch. But I think there's a lesson for us on this first Sunday of Advent. God is calling on us to live as if, in fact, the time was near. That would mean that hope was indeed on the way. I don't think it means that we should be watching the sky. I don't think it means that we need to put up a Jesus is coming soon sign. But I believe we should be feeding the hungry and sharing our blessings and making the world over into the kingdom that Jesus reimagined. We would be making hope and God real in our community. I think we should do more things like change a family's life during Christmas. I think we should do more things together building the kingdom of God. That is our primary work and the work Jesus has called us to. And I think it's the work that Jesus was warning those first Christians to keep up. It's not enough for you just to come here today and sit down and talk about your faith and pray the prayers. You got to do something. You want hope, you've got to make hope for others, and you will receive hope yourself. We're not facing persecution as the Christians, but in the world we live in, greed and the culture are swallowing up the Christian values that we have. They need to be kept in check by a good group of people that walk and talk and serve. A good group of people that look just like you. They look exactly like you look. I'm saying it's time for us to dive into the world and to spread the Lord's good. I'm saying that when we are building the kingdom, we are living as if we expected Christ to come soon. Because every time you do something for someone else, Christ is there. Amen? Amen. Whew. It's not my most